Hello, hello, and welcome to a very exciting episode of She Podcast. I am your host, Jessica Kupferman. With me, as always, is the very vocal Elsie Escobar, and hopefully today the very non-vocal John Domingo.
What a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Yes.
It is. Thank you. We are fired up today because lots and lots happened at PM Evolutions, which was last week. I can start the conversation with some blanket statements before I never get to talk again for the rest of the show. So I'm just going to keep going.
No, yeah, but tell them what PM is.
Okay. Podcast Movement is a grassroots podcast conference. It was the very first one. It started long, long ago in 2013 or 14, I believe.
Well,
and it started with 400 people. It was a Kickstarter. They are the ones that gave me the idea to do our Kickstarter. And it has evolved from a yearly conference that travels all over the country to now a bi-yearly. Is it bi-yearly if it's every other year or twice a year? It doesn't matter. It's twice a year.
Two times a year now, as of this year.
And so last week was the very first version of what they're calling Evolutions, which was more of an industry-focused. They did still have like a newbie track, but last week in LA, they had like a more industry-focused version of this conference, and like all the big players were there and some announcements were made and some things happened. I would like to say, because there's a couple articles and things we're going to get into, before we start with that and the announcements and the news and stuff, I just want to say this. Being one of the original Kickstarters of Podcast Movement, I'm very proud and impressed that they've taken their event and turned it into something that the industry, the big parts of the industry, NPR and Spotify and Patreon. I'm very
here. Clap, John.
I'm very proud that they've created an event that those guys respect, attend, are passionate about, you know, not just sponsor, but like, I'm happy that there is that there is something for that, and that it was started by someone, you know, by what I'd like to call like the grassroots community.
It was started by us.
But I don't want there to be like an us and them. So I was trying to avoid that. But but I am impressed and very proud. And I want to congratulate them for a successful event. It looked beautiful. Yeah. And I am filled with horrible regret that I did not go for several reasons. The main one of which is that, you know, I do feel like by not attending, I've missed out on a certain aspect of knowing the feel and the movement of the industry. And as an event planner in this industry, perhaps that wasn't my best plan. It's very close to PodFest and I am helping with that. But next year I will build time into the schedule for whatever I'm doing to attend, because I don't want to not be there if there's going to be, you know, announcements and keynotes and schmoozing and like getting to see people that I'm trying to cultivate relationships with. Like, I do feel like I missed out on that. And I am both equally proud for them and as I am horrified for myself that I didn't go. So there's that. So let's get into, I guess, some interesting stuff that happened over the weekend. And I don't know, Elsie, if you want me to summarize it or if you would like to summarize it.
I actually just want to correct the record.
I'm already being corrected.
Yes, just perfect. Before we start, when you said that this was the first podcasting conference, it was not. Before, we had the Portable Media conference that happened in Ontario, California, in the early 2000s, if you will, or like 2005, 2006, something like that, which, you know, then
the
became
the
podcast,
you're right,
Podcast and Portable Media Expo, that then became and slowly got like sucked into the New Media Expo. And what Podcast Movement was the sole, this was like podcasting specific, the first time that it was a podcasting specific conference, and it was funded by Kickstarter, which was the very first time that that has ever happened. Any of the other conferences, of course, came from, you know, either other entities or they weren't funded in this fashion, but podcasting had been represented early on. That's it. So you can go ahead and summarize the rest of the stuff. I just wanted to correct that record for...
It seems that during a keynote, Wondery announced what is now being called the Podcast Academy, and that they're going to have a yearly... I'm looking up because I'm trying to remember it in my head. They're going to have the yearly awards show similar to the Oscars and the Grammys called the Golden Mics. And immediately someone mentioned the already put together Academy of Podcasters, which is not the Podcast Academy. And Hernan Lopez, who is the one who announced this, said that website is it's no longer happening. And we checked with them first before going forward. And I think that response, brief for a busy man who was in LA for a conference, it sort of set off a chain reaction of what the fuck.
Well, yeah, because it was just miscommunication.
It ended up to just be miscommunication because the Academy of Podcasters has not gone anywhere, nor has the Hall of Fame. And, you know, they don't have any intention of ignoring the inductees or pretending as if independent podcasters don't exist. But for a good couple of hours there, it really felt like they were purporting that nothing ever existed and they were the first to start it. And aren't we all impressed with them? And no, they weren't. They were not impressed. Right. There was a huge back channel discussion, huge backlash on Twitter. Now it is all worked out. But Elsie was kind enough to give me the keynote announcement via video, which, by the way, I read via transcript because I hate video.
Good job, James Cridlin.
Yes, thank you, James. I would like to start by talking about the announcement itself, and then we can just go chronologically if you want.
Sure.
But so in the announcement, he makes a very interesting anecdote about how we're on this beautiful paradise and everything is wonderful, but we're not getting paid enough money and no one's giving us any respect. AKA Howard Stern talking about how podcasts are for losers 5 years ago, which, by the way, I heard that discussion as it was happening and I was truly horrified as it was happening. He doesn't say that anymore. So then he said along came some aliens and they came down with their big brands and their lots of money and their ideas. And instantly the paradisians were angry and said, well, you can't come here to paradise and screw up all of our pretty flowers. And they said, well, wait, you were complaining 5 minutes ago that it had no money and no respect in the industry. We're trying to give you that. And then he said, you know, the reality is that, you know, there was a lot of like, we can all get along and the independent artists are worthy of respect. And he's still very excited that anyone with a microphone and a garage can build something successful. You don't have to have a team, but he did admit that it does help. And I was with him. I was agreeing right up until the point when he said, and you know what's going to give us respect? Our own award show. And then I was like, well, that was a left turn. What the hell? It almost was like he worked really hard to get the buy-in and I was right there like, yes, we're artists, but we can still be successful and we can all get along and everything's going to be great. And now we have to attend like an Oscars. What? Since when does that garner? I mean, is that the thing that's going to help us gain media respect? I'm not sure about that approach. Or why do we want? I mean, I feel like we are gaining respect as a medium, and I'm not sure who exactly is that supposed to impress? I guess that's my first question. Who is that supposed to impress that will make other? Is it the general pop that's supposed to be like, well, they have an award show and it's been hosted by Conan O'Brien, so they must be cool. How is that relevant? Do you have any idea, Elsie Escobar?
Yeah, no, and it was really interesting because I did listen to the Q&A. So in addition to all the stuff,
riveting.
There was some conveyance as to why it was. And I think Carrie Hoffman answered a question that was very interesting. And part meaning, why do we need awards? And some of the things that they said was that it had to do with whenever somebody wins an award or whenever somebody is nominated for an award, let's take the Oscars because that just happened. So whenever a movie is nominated for an award, there's a lot of categories that you see, you know, whether it's makeup or whether it is, you know, the best actress or whatever. And then you see the names, right? And then you might go, oh, look, I watched that movie. Oh, I didn't watch that. Oh, I have never heard of that person, or I've never seen that movie before. And then you go see the movie, and then it might like either make careers or have somebody, all of a sudden this movie like really has legs. And then there was another woman, and I'm sorry, I don't know which one of the other women other than Carrie that were on stage, because there were two other women plus Carrie on stage, said it's kind of like what happened with the, you know, the movie that just won Best Picture, which was the first time that I believe it's a Korean language movie has earned the Best Picture Oscar. And they essentially won so much, right? So that in itself is like bringing more people, more eyes to a movie that may or may not have ever gotten the light of day in the way that we might imagine. Right. So that's what they're saying.
Right.
That now we have this in our radars. Maybe the people in the movie, maybe the director in the movie can go on and continue to create better work for us and expand our industry. Now, can you tell me how many years the Oscars have been going on? Can somebody Google that real quick?
No. He had it in the speech. It was like 1929. Okay. And then the Grammys was 29, 39, 49. It's been a long time.
It looks as if maybe... And I'm going to be really sarcastic here, y'all. So I'm just... Thank you for prefacing.
Otherwise, yes, no one so would sorry. Know.
I'm so sorry. So it seems like in, I don't know, how almost how many years? I don't want to...
1929, the Oscars. 1949, the Emmys. 1959, the Grammys.
Okay. So let's say heading to almost 100 years. Almost,
yes,
right?
Yes. Almost. And actually, this year was 90.
Okay, so 90 years. In about 90 years, we as independent podcasters might be recognized. I don't know.
That is funny. You know,
I don't know.
That's an interesting point. But
also, Oscars so white. How often do we see that hashtag?
I know.
Okay, but so what I'm saying is...
It was so white this year.
So what I'm saying is it doesn't matter how many years has it been, though. It's been 90.
But they also have the SAG Awards and the Golden Globes and the French films and the indie films and the BAFTA.
Totally, yeah. And the yes, absolutely.
And we can have those things too. And maybe those things will.
The People's Choice Awards, maybe we'll just be more passionate
about the other ones. I mean, I agree with you, and I hear what you're saying. I'm not even sure why it's like even relevant. I'm just not sure why it's relevant. Like, I mean, what was relevant was I love the way he said like TV. Was called the boob tube, the dumb box, the babysitter, radio.
Yep.
Every medium has been ridiculed in some way, shape, or form.
Every medium, for sure.
I don't see podcasting. You know, this is maybe it's 5 years too late, which is why the Academy of Podcasters was so cool when it happened, because I don't see people really ridiculing it right now. Maybe 5 years ago when they started this, but like it was going along swimmingly. And then, you know, now I guess the corp casters have decided it wasn't good enough, or they didn't want to invest money into it, or they just want to start something different. Now, I do think Hernan and Carrie from PRX, they're all amazing people, very smart, good people, thoughtful people. And I don't think their intention is, in fact, Hernan even said specifically, our intention is to be inclusive and not exclusive. And I'm sure they're not going to have an academy full of old white men like the academy that votes on the Oscars, which is why Oscars so white every year, is because the voting entities are 100 and they're all white and they're usually, you know, they're mostly men. So that happens because it's old. This is new. We can create it however we want. And I say we because I don't think that we're invisible. And I think we proved that on Twitter. I think that backlash was probably unexpected, but it certainly wasn't ignored. We were not, and I even hate saying we because I don't really, I will like to admit that I have new podcaster privilege.
Yeah.
We are segregating in that I haven't been there from the beginning. I wasn't a member of the Academy of Podcasters, but I'm not a Hall of Fame inductee, and I still won't be eligible for that for another like 4 years. So I know that I'm relatively new. I do care about the industry a lot, and I do support it 24 hours a day, but I don't really have the right to say we. But I can say that I thought that everyone was heard when they voiced their opinion, especially you, which I think was good and the right thing to do, even though it was hella long for Twitter.
Well, you haven't been hanging out on Twitter, Jess.
I know. So I need to, like, so I'm trying to get that, into it more.
Yeah, it was a long thread. So I did, I'll put a link in the show notes to the thread that I wrote.
Yes, please do.
And I do find that, I think I've, this is off subject here, but I've talked about this here in She Podcasts a lot. And I really do not like Facebook. And I've said that over and over and over again.
What?
I know. I find it to be, I just don't like that medium. I don't like the what it does. I have been very, I like Twitter because there, it feels to me that it's, I don't know, it feels different. I like the way that people do threads. I like the way that thought leaders are in Twitter. I love how they impart knowledge to each other. I love how I've gotten to know so many voices that I didn't even know existed. I love how I can follow people and they don't know that I'm following them because I'm a lurker and I'm a very, you know, I'm not somebody that's like, I don't want to let you know. Like, I don't even like to go into webinars and have people know that I'm watching the webinar. Like, I, that's why I never go, because I don't want people to go, hey, Elsie, how you doing? Like, I do not want to be acknowledged unless I want to be acknowledged. And so there's an element of anonymity to information that I like. Anyway, that said, I wrote this thread because I felt that it was the best way to reach an audience that wasn't my own silo. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because if I would have put it on my Facebook page, who would have seen that? I have like, what, 400 likes? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying the algorithm, the algorithm on Facebook is such that unless it's something like crazy viral, you're not going to get people sharing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
People are not going to see it. I could put it on my own, on our She Podcast Facebook group, but even then, only a few people would have seen it. This is what I felt like if I wrote something like that on Facebook, on the Facebook group, I would have gotten, wait, what happened? Wait, what is this? Wait, what is podcast? What is Podcast Movement Evolution? Wait, there's an award ceremony? Wait a minute, what? And so I would have been like, you know what? I don't want to answer questions about that. I just want to get it out to as many people as possible here, or at least to be heard, to feel like I had a voice. And part of the reason that I felt, I guess, you know, when I, and I spoke for the major, for what I felt is that I was speaking for those OGs of us that have been around for a long time. And
it's funny that they call, that you call yourselves OGs, because very few of you are gangster.
You are correct about that. But there has been, when I said that, a systematical erasure of our history, essentially, because nobody knows, like, even if I say names, like, and I'm not bringing this to your attention to make anybody feel bad here, but
the podcast
and portable media conference, like, that's where the OGs met for the majority. We would go there to all of those different times, right? So that conference already happened. Like, there's a lot of things that have already happened that they're no longer in existence that were started before, I guess, 2014, which seems like that's like the year that, I don't know, is a seminal year. It seems like, you know, whatever. It all of a sudden
banner
became,
year for some reason.
It's a banner year for whatever reason. So anything before that seems to not be good, right? Mm-hmm. Or not good, but not seen. And unfortunately, that's what sucks. Like, even when it comes to like the simple things like, oh, look, this is the first directory of X, Y, and Z. And you're like, no, there was another one, but it's now no longer in existence because for whatever reason. Or we are the first company that has dynamic ad insertion. And it's like, you guys, do you know that companies have had dynamic ad insertion?
Stop saying you're the first.
Don't
stop
do that.
It. It's ridiculous.
Do your due diligence. Do some research. And then what really pissed me off, and it wasn't necessarily, obviously, the discussion that you're having is great, Jess. I mean, but one of the things that I brought on my thread was the fact that the reporting in the industry, and I'm talking in the industry, not our own people, not Sky and James and Ed, who all have podcast-related newsletters and are reporting on our space, but we're talking about people who report for or write articles for Bloomberg, Variety, Forbes, The Hollywood Reporter, all of those things that are reporting on podcasting as if it started 5 years ago. And they don't acknowledge even that there's anything besides the corporations that now have VC funding or come from old media, if you will, or legacy media, either radio or public radio or whatever, that have come into the scenes. And those companies are seen as established. iHeart, Spotify.
Yeah, well, of course.
But when did they get into podcasting, though? I mean, iHeart Radio, what? It was like maybe 3 years ago. Spotify, same thing, about
they
years
have
ago.
Dubbed themselves like, experience because of all their years in radio.
Right. And so therefore, that's what they are. And that's what really irks. And particularly with, you know, a quote that I have on that thread, which is like that, you know, podcasting, I guess, was born from the, I don't know, from the hallways of public radio or something. I don't know, something along those lines where it's like, no, it was not. And nobody is going to do the research. Nobody wants to look back. Nobody wants to acknowledge anybody else who went before them. And I'm sure that if I start mentioning names of people, people are going to be like, I don't know who that is. Well, that's right, because nobody cared. Nobody cares to do any research.
No. Nope.
So that's what
they
I was really.
They just dubbed themselves first and original. And it's never the case, ever.
So reporting needs to be better. Particular nuanced reporting that is covering the podcasting industry needs not only be, because I don't know if you've seen this, but there generally is no analysis, but there is a regurgitation of PR releases. There is essentially word for word, this is what happened, and then they quote a few numbers, but they don't, and I'm talking about reporters here, they don't understand podcast listeners. They don't understand podcast technology. As in, like, they don't really know the difference between a listen and a download and why people are using two separate vocabulary terms. That in itself could be a fantastic piece for a reporter to tackle. The way that it's moved, who are the distribution? Because distribution now is being viewed as distribution companies like Spotify or iHeartRadio or who else? Like, even Wondery as a distribution and a company. And that's, what about the podcast hosts? Those are the ones that actually distribute your podcast. And I'm not just talking from Libsyn perspective. I'm talking about all of the podcast hosting companies. All of us, like Simplecast and Buzzsprout and Blueberry. And those people are the ones that are disseminating, I would say, 90% of all podcasts out there. They are the ones that are putting those shows out. They're the ones that are hosting this media. And none of them, I mean, did you hear Apple Podcasts mentioned at all?
No, but I did see Steve Wilson was on his way there at one point.
Okay, well, awesome. I'm just...
What's your point?
Even that, my point is, regardless of the white elephant in the room and how I often...
White elephant.
Yeah, of how I'm critical. I'm critical of,
I love that,
of Apple Podcasts. I'm critical of Apple's power in the space at times, not because I don't value what they've done, but because you have to be able to be critical. You have to be able to do that, particularly with somebody who wields so much power, right? But they've been historically there, whether, you know, we can debate whether or not they have been actively involved in it. But what was very disheartening is to see that, at least at this moment, they were never even acknowledged. And if Apple, like, I just feel that they're so important. They're really important, whether you want to or not. You need to hear from them as much as you need to hear from people like us, like me, who don't have training in audio. So I am not a legacy media person who was just put into this space, right? I am not pivoting. I have not pivoted my career from radio to be a podcaster now. I have not left public radio to be here now. I have not gone to school as a broadcaster. I have not worked in the coasts or in any radio station. I had never recorded or edited audio before until I started podcasting. Everything that I know about the medium, I have learned by myself in my house. The training that I've gotten has been from my fellow podcasters who have been incredibly amazing at being able to go, Elsie, no, this is what an RSS feed is. This is a dynamic microphone. This is a condenser microphone. This is how you edit your shows. This is how you post it. This is metadata. These are ID3 tags. Like, I know all of that stuff, not because I went to school, but because I have now been podcasting for over 13 years and have thousands of hours of podcast production under my belt. Whether it's good or bad, it, you know, could be debated, but I have my hands have been dirty. You know, I'm in it.
Right.
I've brought communities together. I've seen podcasting grows. We've built this, Jess. We've built this.
We built this city on rock and roll.
We did. I mean, again, we were also born in 20. She podcast. I'm talking about She podcast 2014 birth, right?
Yes.
So from 2014 up to now as well, we funded, again, the second Kickstarter for the largest women's podcast conference ever.
Yeah, we raised a lot more too, but that's neither here nor there.
Right. But by our community though.
You
know what I mean? Our women.
Yep.
And yes, we did have some casters and we did have some support from independent media companies that did step in into the Kickstarter side of things to kind of give us a little extra money here and there. But I would say they were maybe 10%, would I say? I mean, I'm just guessing. I have no idea. But the majority of the people who donated it to the Kickstarter were our people.
Yes, of course.
They were our people. They were
certainly
women.
Weren't a lot of strangers, that's for sure.
No, that's right. And they pushed it. And the number one comment that we had from our conference was that I was like floored and I cry even thinking about it. Is that it was non-hierarchical.
I know. I did love people saying that to me, that everyone felt equal and even when they were there. That was really special and important to me. I agree.
You have to talk because I have to get myself together.
Okay. You know, it's true that in a lot of events, and actually most events, speakers and exhibitors and keynoters, they can kind of, I don't want to say separate themselves, but as a new person, you can feel a little bit like imposter syndrome that you don't belong there. And I loved hearing over and over and over that there was no feeling of insecurity or that anyone was above anyone else. It was really nice. And I'm not sure why she's crying so hard about it, but it's nice. It's nice. I wish that that could spill over into our entire community. I don't know why it doesn't. I don't think it's a male thing. If that's what you guys think I'm saying, I'm not. It's just that right. I think that Elsie and I work really hard to cultivate an atmosphere that is based on wanting to support one another regardless of who and how they are.
Right. And I think that part of it is not just about the inclusivity that we want to have for women.
Yes.
But
for everyone.
Yeah. But also with the fact that when we looked at those people who were going to be speaking or people that were going to be given the stage, we really went on the merits of the individual. And,
yes, and their expertise.
And their expertise, right? And it's like we recognized that there's so many of us that have a vast amount of knowledge that often aren't given the stage, that often aren't supported, that can do all of these things, but they're overlooked because somebody else has always been there, right?
Right.
You always see the same people, like those are the speakers. Oh my God, it's the famous people. And we don't really get an opportunity to let the community speak and understand that they're brilliant as well, right? And it also doesn't reflect back into download numbers. You know what I mean? You don't get the stage because you had all these download numbers for your show. Like you don't get the stage because you were, I don't know, insert whatever. Like you were the first. I don't know. I think you understand what I'm talking about.
I do.
And I think that that's why I get emotional about it, is because it just feels like it feels very much like us and them. And it's not because we don't want to be part of it, but it feels as if somebody else has decided what the rules are. And then all of a sudden we're like, we're playing this game here. It's like, you know, my Mei does this a lot, and she's actually gotten a lot better, where she'll start to play a game. And then if she starts to either lose or something starts to go off, she changes the rules, like right in the middle of it. And she's like, no. Now this is this.
That's funny.
Because of this, right? And that's what it feels like. It's like everybody has sort of underwritten some like rules of the game, if you will, or like principles of how we move, which is all based on community, and it's all based on helping each other. And then you come into that, and then all of a sudden there's all these other rules, and you're like, oh, okay. Well, I don't know if I want to play that game anymore.
My question is, why is what they're playing have anything to do with what you're playing? Like, John says a lot of this phrase, sandbox, get out of my sandbox. But, like, what if it's not your sandbox? What if it's a sandbox that they built and filled with their own goddamn sand? Like, why does it affect us, you, at all? Especially enough to make you feel like you're no longer accepted in a world that, like, never acknowledged the independence in the first place.
Well, I think that's part of it. It's because the coverage wasn't sexy. And I think that really merits the narrative that started to take off when people started to report in the industry was the lens of it came from a privileged position, whether it was a geographical privilege, whether it was a relationship privilege, whether it was a legacy media privilege. That's where it came from.
I can assure you it is mostly relationship privilege, because they're all journalists.
Right. And so they all get to know each other, and what they're reporting on is what they see. And they also work with the larger places that get the word out, right? So you get the reporting to things like Variety or the Hollywood Reporter, because those are like some of the biggest like entertainment news out there, for, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And they don't really understand, like, they don't come to where, like, the Midwest and, like, you know, I don't know, the South and other parts of the United States where we had podcasters. We've had podcasters, podcasting meetups, local meetups that have been going on forever, that have been cultivating these grassroots organizations, and they all have leaders, and everybody has a say, and they all have education already there, maybe not as much as we could. And then all of a sudden, all of this stuff starts to come out, and it feels like, wait, you don't know what we've been doing that forever, or you're not covering what we're doing in podcasting. You don't see what we've done for our community. You, all of that stuff. So that's what I'm getting at.
I totally agree. I feel very similarly to how I felt when I first was an online entrepreneur, and I would look at those who were much more successful or making so much more money than me, and feeling like, well, yeah, I could do that too if I had no kids, or I could do that too if I... Yeah, well, I mean, eventually I learned to stop looking at them and just do what I do. And once I started doing that, I got a lot more successful. I don't know if that's good advice for anyone listening, but stop looking at what they're doing. Just do what you do.
And I think that that's, unfortunately, you know, when you start to see those that have been successful in the mediums, the majority of, and, you know, I'm going to make a huge generalization here, but they've given up a lot to be successful in the mediums. Sometimes it could be a horrible thing, like we've been seeing all the reporting from Harvey Weinstein, and we've seen like everything that happened in terms of the amount of power that he had in an industry where there was certain behavior that, you know, for the women that said no, which is what we're hearing about a lot now, right? Their careers kind of faltered, but we don't know the ones that said yes.
Yes, we do.
Well, all I'm seeing is...
We know a few.
Okay. Well, I have not seen reporting on that. Like, meaning I have not seen like this, these are, but whatever. All I'm saying is whatever that choice was for that woman, I'm sure was not an easy choice. And I'm sure it's something that in some way has messed with their insides.
Yes, I'm sure.
You know? Okay. So they've given something up. So that's like a horrible example. But this is not, and it also, relationships falter, drug abuse, whatever, mental health, because the industry demands you to focus and to be fierce and to be only about this. And one of the reasons that I felt so stressed out when I was in the industry is because there was a lot of times when I was like, I really don't want to go out for this role.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a role that aligned with who I was nor with the kind of work I wanted to do.
But.
And then I was essentially bullied into going because this is what you get from your. I had calls from my agent and my manager going like, you know, you need to go because essentially you're a nobody. You take what you can get. So get over there and get into this. And so you feel like, okay, I'll go. And so.
Well, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, so when I was there, given the model that was established, where I had to fit their idea of who I needed to be, I started to lose myself. And podcasting gave it back to me because I was able to be myself and create the content I wanted. I'm not saying you can't do that anymore. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the culture in which podcasting was created came from not the same models.
Like a place of acceptance and not who's the best, who's got the best talent, who's got the most money.
Exactly. And so
well, that makes sense. We created
that and it rose up from that foundation. That's what came up. And that's how we supported each other. And we all knew, oh, you can't do that. You can't go to that event. You can't, oh, you know what? This is the least expensive microphone that you can use to do your thing. This is the choice that you can have to do that. Oh, let's work together and figure it out versus the only way you're going to do it. And I'm not saying that this is what they're sending say. I'm not saying this. But like you need to have a host. Like what we were talking about last thing. You need to have a whole list of people who are doing all the things. Right? And if it doesn't, the quality of it doesn't meet a certain standard, then it's not worthy. And I can say that all of us in podcasting, like even just, I'm going to give a shout out to the History Chicks who've been around forever. And, you know, when they started, their audio was crap. Sorry, guys. Just laying it out. Their audio was crap. And then now, with learning through the years, building an audience who love their work, even when their audio was less than stellar, have now become phenoms, amazing podcasters, first and foremost, above anything and everything. And I'm glad they're doing so well. In independent podcasting, years and experience behind the microphone doing the thing that you do really matters.
It does matter. Of course it matters. But they don't see it the same way because they've been behind the microphone doing what they do. They just are now doing it for a different medium. But to them, it's the same. They are experienced because they were in radio. You can't necessarily take that away.
No, you can't. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that. And that's not the point, I know, but I've learned so much. Like I said, in the last episode, I was saying you guys need to go subscribe to that Gimlet Media, podcast because it was really good. I learned so many different things like that stuff we don't know. Right.
That's great. I mean, I'm not even talking about the quality of their content. I'm just saying they're not untalented just because they were in radio. Quite the opposite.
Right. And that again, that's not the problem. The problem is that it's only that independence. In from what I have perceived are people who are not affiliated with one of these corporations or one of these public media. That means like a independent audio professional versus an independent podcaster, which is what I consider myself. Am I a professional podcaster?
Nah.
I don't know. You know, I am.
Sort of.
I am a professional in podcasting, I would say. Right. I am an expert in podcasting. Yes, I can definitely put that hat on my head and I can own up to that because I know Carrie Hoffman also mentioned that the literacy of all of these different verticals within the podcasting space does need to rise up. And I feel that that my literacy in all the verticals in podcasting space is fairly high. So I can speak to all of these different places, not just as a host, but everything else. But what I'm saying is, like, when they're talking about the independence, they're talking about the independent, like, audio pro person.
Right.
That's what's hard, right? Because that's like Jen Briney, Jim Harold. Yeah. Those guys are independent. That's like an independent podcaster right there. Those two.
Well, and they also make a ton of money on their show, which is great. Yeah.
And who does all their stuff? They do. They have some support, listener driven, but that's what they do. So the No Agenda, even the No Agenda dudes, you know?
What do you think in a perfect world with the two camps getting along and respecting one another looks like? Like, how does that look to you in your head? What would be different specifically?
This is a great question because I've been sitting with this for a while too. I think that there needs to be, and when I use the term diversity here, I'm not talking about the way that we might hear it in other spaces. I'm going to be talking about podcasting industry diversity. The number one thing is that those that are in the legacy models, those that are in, that have been in media in the past, need to also acknowledge the professionalism of those of us that have zero training in that, but have become professional in podcasting. Like, that's our resume. So to just see that, right, in terms of the amount of hours spent behind the microphone, the amount of knowledge that we have built up in running a show on our own, like people like Jen Briney, like people like Jim Harold, who have essentially, they have an insight into the space that would really benefit the others, right?
So I'm saying that's it. In a perfect world, they would call a meeting and interview everyone, or I want to know, like, semantics.
They would have to be part of the board.
Well, they might be someday. I mean, they might be soon. He still has 17
places. Yeah, no, I know.
He's
still, well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
They need to be heard in that room. And there need to be people who are creating media in podcasting that are nonprofit, in addition to for-profit players there. There need to be educators that are part of the educational model in podcasting that lead with education in some way, whatever that might be. And they also, there also needs to be the developers, people who are creating things for podcasting.
Yeah. It sure would be helpful if they would ask people who podcast what they need before just developing.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's like,
that's a very good point.
No, that, I mean, developers need to be part of this conversation. And lastly, I don't even know how this can be, but I do feel that there needs to be representation for the listener. And I feel that, I don't know what the qualifications are for that, but it would be like a professional podcast listener, somebody who's been listening to podcasts from the beginning. Listen, Jess, I'm telling you, I don't know how this is going to happen, but this is where we turn the thing on its head.
Professional listener.
Yeah, well, that can and loves podcasting, has been a vast podcast listener from the early days, may or may not have tipped their finger into creating shows, but are primarily led by their love of podcasting, and they've consumed content from way early on.
And that should be you, I think. That sounds
all
like
the
me.
Way.
That's an Elsie thing.
Now, because we need to have, there's a lot of decisions that are essentially happening in the space that are being done by people who are looking at the bottom line. They're looking at how do we serve advertisers? How do we serve producers, which is a good thing? How do we serve, you know, these larger companies? But nobody is advocating for how it's going to be received by the actual other end of things.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Nobody knows what people are doing. Like, when they're like, I mean, we have Edison Research who reports back on data. Mm-hmm. And we can then find that data and make it up. And then it becomes, this is what we think. But we don't actually have the voice of, like, well, that doesn't work. Somebody who's testing these things. It's so annoying to hear the dynamic ad insertions right now. It's so annoying. It's amazing the fact that apps are developing ways to skip over content because it makes it easier for me as a listener to continue listening to a show. So that's my last thing. The listener needs to be represented in some way, and I don't know.
Yeah,
what that
how
even
would
looks
we do
like.
That?
I don't know how that looks like.
I don't either. So
that's a lot of talking.
It was a lot of talking. Moving on to a lovely piece that was done by Tom Webster of Edison Digital, I thought he wrote a very nice piece about the problem. He called it the biggest mistake in podcasting. But I believe his answer to the biggest mistake was not having a governing entity. And I don't know how I feel about that. He did announce something I didn't know, which was that the International Podcast Association is now defunct. Hmm. And I mean, they just started putting it together, I think, right. last year at PodFest. So that's kind of sad.
It is sad.
Very sad. I mean, I know it happened because everyone has full-time shows and full-time jobs, and that is a full-time job.
Hello. Yes.
So what's the solution? I mean, should there be an independent, should we start like the BAFTA of podcasting? Like, do we need an independent entity? Can we create one association that has best practices? Is that going to be done without us meaning the independents, or what do you think?
I would love something like that to exist. I do feel that one of the reasons that I've stepped away from pursuing anything related to that, because I have had people approach me a few times about it.
To start it?
Not to me start it, but like,
to be a part of it.
We should do this, you know, da, da, da.
Yeah.
I totally believe in it. But you're right, Jess. It is a full-time
job. It really is.
Job. Like, it's not something that I'd be like, here, let's just have a meeting once.
And it's not a job that pays.
And it's not a job
that pays. Which is a problem. Unless it's underwritten somehow and somebody's salary is underwritten, or they have some kind of independent wealth, Gary Leland, then I think that we're out of luck when it comes to that. It's going to be probably governed by a corporation because they have all the cash. We don't.
Or it can be, and I guess one thing, hats off to the Podcast Academy, is that they do have
the fundage.
Yeah, they've got the money. They also have the clout and they have the visibility that we don't. So in some degree, like, I've always been a proponent, like, for me, an organization like this would entail a variety of different categories within it, right, that would be advocating for the good of the medium, versus what I feel the Podcast Academy is doing right now is advocating for the good of the content, right? Because the content grows, people listen to podcasts. But then there is also another aspect that needs to be really addressed, which is podcasting outreach, podcasting education, addressing privacy issues, being able to understand what the advertising industry issues need to be, like governing that aspect of it, being able to understand pay in some way, right? The way that being part of SAG is, like, I'm still like, how do you say it? Something.
Are you a member of SAG?
I'm a member of SAG, but I am something, there's a title of it. Like, I don't pay dues because I'm not actively
in good standing.
It's not good standing. There's a word for it. As long as I don't pursue acting.
In sorority, it's a member not in good standing. MIG. You're a MIG. You're a MIG.
Well, whatever.
If you're not.
Yeah. And so, like, I don't pay because I'm not actively
pursuing. No dues. Right.
I'm not actively doing that. But yes, I am part of SAG, and it took me forever to be able to pay the dues on that. And part of equity as well, you know, so I am that as well. But given that, though, those are the types of organizations that really are proponents for the professionals in the space, but they don't necessarily advocate for the industry. Like, we were just talking about, let's say, gender equality in the movies, you know, in the way that there's some people who are spearheading that and calling attention to women directors and all of that stuff. That's not part of, like, the Oscars,
right?
That's not their job. That's something else.
Those are organizations.
I don't even know what they're called, but those are organizations that's what they do. That's what they're constantly. So it's like they're the pain in the butts to all the people who are just trying to make more money. So I don't know if they want to do that, but I do feel that it's important. We do need to have a governing bipartisan, I guess, impartial something.
A bipartisan, impartial governing body for podcasters.
It's kind of like a union, you know, like union rep, like a union rep that comes in and goes like, this is what the people are actually feeling, but not just for the people who work there, but also to advocate for the listeners, for privacy, for bringing the facts to the table, like a rep of some kind, you know, that has that thing there. I mean, everything has that. I've been binging on SVU again because I just found out that it was on Amazon Prime and I love that show. Mm-hmm. And You know, they always have like, who are those people? Like if somebody kills somebody, then there's the people that come and do the internal affairs, like internal affairs. Like we need to have like internal affairs too.
Internal
even though everybody
affairs?
Hates internal affairs, like people who are like there to check that things are going right, that check that we're really addressing these issues. Like even the way like people who can't see, people who can't necessarily hear, like what are the plans to make sure that accessibility is front and center for developing players, for developing transcriptions, for all that crap that is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
I love that you're an advocate for accessibility.
So what we're going to do, people, is we would love to hear your thoughts.
We would love to hear. As long as they're not bitter and angry. Be kind.
Be kind.
Be
kind is always
good. Be kind and be gentle. Please.
Yes.
Do not
also,
rant on our phone. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, but this is what really distinguishes podcasting from anywhere else here. And it's what we're talking about, the hierarchical aspects of it, right? Your voice can be heard. And if you want or something has come up that you feel like, you know what, this is really good, I really agree with you, or I really disagree, and just go ahead and let us know. You can email us over at feedback@shepodcast.com. You can attach a voice memo from your phone. Most of you guys listening are in some way podcasters. You can get behind the microphone. You can, you know, even...
Send us audio if you want.
Send us audio straight from there. Do try not to go over like a minute or so, because I do know that people tend to talk a lot. Like
we are podcasters.
You're a podcaster. We get that.
Maybe you're asking a lot.
Maybe. But also, I just want to also say that if you guys want to be informed and not just go off of what we thought, all of the links to anything we've discussed,
yes, are
including
in the show.
The video of the keynote, including Pod News released the entire keynote as audio, plus the Q&A that happened behind that. And you can subscribe to Pod News as a podcast.
And please do, because...
As a podcast.
Yeah.
So that you can listen to that from your own ears, and you can make your own decisions based on this, so that you can... It's powerful for you to be able to do that and not just be swayed by what you read. I'm a really huge proponent of that.
Yeah, so please write us. Let us know what you think. To sum up, Elsie's point is ask questions before you make statements. My point is, why can't we all just get along? That was basically an hour's worth of content summed up in two sentences. Am I wrong?
No, that's pretty good.
Elsie's like, good. Just ask before you do stuff. And I'm like, just everybody be nice to one another.
Do your research by asking Facebook. Like, don't do that.
Who does that?
Oh, okay.
Wow.
The whole world does that. Oh my God. Okay. We're just going to stay on that topic here, and then we will discuss other things. Maybe we'll have a lovely feedback episode next week. But before we go, though, we have to let people know about our super squad. And the specialness that we're doing. Hello. So here's the thing. So you guys, we have this special thing. It's called the She Podcast Super Squad. And we created it because we have a harder time being in the podcast Facebook group, the large one, a lot, because it's very time consuming and it's growing incredibly. And it's a lot. That said, we are really huge believers in being able to give you as much free, well, not free, but accessible, good information that will help you continue podcasting and build community. The solution that we found is by creating this extra little special place, which is the Super Squad, which you can at this moment call. I know it's a special place.
This is exactly why you don't do these. Now I remember why you don't.
Extra
do
special this. Super place. Special. It's $5 a month at this moment. $5 a month on Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/shepodcast, you get access to this. Now, what do you get? You get a Q&A with one of us every single week. So you get essentially free coaching for you, answering whatever question you have about podcasting.
Right.
And between Jess and I guarantee we can get you an answer that is
anything.
Not
anything. You get our undivided attention.
Yes. And we and
our experience.
Look at your stuff. Yeah. We don't like go and go like, well, I don't know. Like, no, we spend time to be really clear about it. And we have now over
Thanks
a
for
year.
Selling it, Else.
I know. Sorry. No, we do spend a lot of time. Anyway, but one of the bonus things that we're going to start doing this year is that we're going to have meetups whenever Jess and I go to conferences. So our very first Super Squad meetup, we're just going to have a lunch. So everybody's going to come together and have lunches.
We're not buying the lunch.
We're not buying the lunch.
We're eating it together. We're not at the point where we can buy the lunch yet.
That's right. We're facilitating the meetup together.
Yes.
And it's going to be happening at PodFest.
At PodFest.
March 7th during lunchtime. That's Saturday. We don't know exactly location or specific time just yet.
We will let you know then, and we'll post it in the group. So if you're part of the group, you'll know when it's going to be and where. But yeah, it's lunch on Saturday. It's with me and Elsie, and we're really excited. It's going to be fun. Maybe instead of lunch, we should just go down the water slide a few times.
Oh my God. And also, if you happen to be in Florida and you're a part of the Super Squad, but you happen to, sadly, not be attending PodFest, you can still come. Because this is just for She Podcast Super Squad. So, and again, what do you get? How do you get in it? $5 a month. That's it. $5 a month. Patreon.com/She Podcast. And there you have it.
And if you're not at PodFest yet, go to PodFestExpo.com. Especially if you're in and around the Florida area. It is definitely worth coming to. It's a really nice community feel, a family feel. All levels of podcasters are welcome and appreciated, and it's going to be so fun. Again, podfestexpo.com. And thank you so much for listening if you've gotten it this far. We do appreciate it. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at She Podcast. Our group is facebook.com/groups/She Podcast, and our show notes are at shepodcast.com. And again, if you have something to tell us about today's show, you can email it feedback@shepodcast.com, or you can go to shepodcast.com and leave us a voice message. Thank you guys so much. Thank you to Elsie and John. Love you.
Mean it.
Bye.